Welcome to Clean Talk, the one and only podcast about infection control. I'm your host, Brad Whitchurch. We are coming to you live from the Seal Shield Studios in beautiful, sunny downtown Orlando, Florida. Joining me today is my very special guest, Mr. Don Prisby with Cadence Advance. Don, welcome to Clean Talk.
Hey, Brad, it's nice to see you, and it's great to be here. I'm speaking from you from Portland, Oregon, where we are implementing a solution here at the Portland VA Medical Center today.
Well, that's fantastic. The miracle of modern technology. We are broadcasting all the way across the country. And I want to get to why you're at the VA. But first, Don, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Thanks so much, Brad. I arrived in my interest at the VA by no mistake. I grew up in a Navy family. My father was a naval officer, a career officer. So as you can imagine, as a dependent, you know, we lived the Navy life. So living in that environment was very special to me. My father retired. In fact, when he died, the Navy buried him at sea. So we have a very close connection to the Navy, and I have such an affection for the military. So it wasn't a surprise that I would be tied or lean toward the VA. The other part of my career was I was in the private healthcare systems as a marketing director. So I knew about the economics of healthcare and those things that are beyond care, like how do we run a hospital? How do we run a hospital system in terms of just the efficiencies around the economics of care? So those two things, my experience in the private healthcare area and my affinity of having been a dependent of a military officer, really prepared me for my experience with the VA. It's something that I love to do. It's something that when we look at a system like this, which is one of the largest systems in the country, if not the world, you know, to tie in solutions that meet not only the care objectives, but the economic objectives of the system are very important to me. So I apply a real consultative approach in working with top performing solutions that I believe fit the VA's priorities.
Well, thank you for your passion for our veterans and appreciate your father's service. My grandfather was part of the Greatest Generation and an active combat veteran in World War II. My father is also a veteran. My father-in-law is a veteran. So I share your passion for veteran care. And that's one of the things we're here to talk about today. You mentioned that you are at the VA in Portland, Oregon today. I know that Cadence Advance, the company that you co-founded, is an advocate for technologies in veterans affairs and defense health. Tell us a little bit about Cadence and why you started that organization and what you do.
Well, again, Cadence was an extension of again, what I shared, my background in the private healthcare systems and my love for the government and love for the military. But I also bring a consultative approach, which is just inherent in my approach, in looking at how do we bring solutions that tie to the VA's priorities? That's the key element. It's not about selling a commodity. It's about solving issues. And for the VA, it's about improving well-being while helping drive down the cost of care. Imagine, you know, there's 170 medical centers, 1,200 community-based outpatient clinics across 18 divisions. It's a huge budget. So we need to help the government make ethical and legal decisions for the right solutions that fit the VA's priorities. So with my consultative background, I felt I want to find top-performing organizations in the country that want to serve the VA, and I want to represent them to the VA. So there's a very consultative approach, which we'll talk about in a bit, that is, again, it's not responding to RFPs, it's not commodity selling, it's very thorough, very genuine, and very systematic in terms of how we introduce a solution, like Seal Shield, to the right government buyer.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for that background. And for our audience, I just want to give a little brief history of the VA. A lot of people don't realize that veterans benefits really stretch back to the very beginning of this country, back to the Pilgrims, in fact, that offered veterans benefits for the community members that fought to protect the colonists. And then it extended into the Revolutionary War, where benefits and pensions were extended for revolutionary soldiers. And then in the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln expanded the program to include widows and orphans. Again, an expansion in World War I. After World War II, we had the advent of the GI Bill. But it wasn't until 1989 when President Reagan advanced the agency to be a cabinet seat. And that was enforced and reinforced by subsequent administrations, with President George Bush saying there's only one spot for America's veterans, and that's in a cabinet seat sitting at the table with the President of the United States. I've talked a little bit about the history of VA. What can you tell us about the modern VA system today?
Well, again, it is the largest healthcare system in the country, if not the world. A lot of people don't know this, but the VA trains more private residents than any other healthcare system. And we'll see that whenever there's a VA hospital, look around, you'll see a teaching hospital in close proximity. So the future of medicine is incubated and trained mostly at VA medical centers. So they stand a great service for the country in terms of not only taking care of veterans, but also training residents for private practice.
So yeah, a lot of people don't realize that not only does the VA have their own medical staff, but they also outsource to private medical facilities so that our veterans can get the absolute best care, public and private. What can you tell us about the VA's mission today and why that's so important?
Well, I mean, the VA always is about the veterans, and the veteran is first. And what we're seeing in healthcare in general, where we've changed from, you know, fee for services to outcomes-based care, that's always been an ethic at the VA in terms of being an integrated network that is both the organization that cares for the veteran and also pays for that service. So the VA has an inherent mission to, again, improve well-being, but lower the cost of care. Thus, it's important that when we find solutions for the VA, we need to see that they have multi-level advocacy, that they are solutions that meet the clinical, meet the administrative, meet the executive needs of the patients and the operation, but also meet the financial and the procurement requirements of again, tying solutions to the VA's priorities and also fulfilling the market research that procurement officers do, which is really it has an end toward finding a legal and ethical recommendation for top performing solutions. So that's how what we do impacts the overall mission of care, again, to improve well-being and to lower the cost of care.
And the highest level of care for our veterans who have earned that service. You mentioned that you are actually broadcasting from a Veterans Medical Center, a VA Medical Center in Portland, Oregon. You must have some pretty big clout to be able to establish yourself over there for our podcast. I appreciate you doing that. Why are you there today? What can you tell us?
Great question, Brad. Yes, what we're doing right now is we are implementing a couple of disinfection management solutions here at the medical center. One of them will be focused on handheld devices, particularly Vocera badges, which are badges that nurses wear and use to communicate, and they go from room to room to room. Now, imagine what that would look like if those weren't disinfected. You know, that could be an issue. So the VA saw that and thought, we want to disinfect those badges. So one system is focused particularly on that. The other is being put into the telemetry and telemedicine department, where there are multiple devices in there that need to be disinfected. So it's a high acuity area that needs to be kept safe. So that's where they're starting. They have a vision here for even having one as part of their receiving of new devices that come into the system. So let's disinfect them as they come in and then set up a regular cadence for them to be disinfected in the long term. So VA Portland has a long-term view of that. VA Portland is part of Vision 20, which is a division of the VA up in the Northwest. So there's Vancouver right down the road that is likely to receive some of these devices, and then the other hospitals. So when I talk about multi-level advocacy, here in Vision 20, Portland is the first medical center to look at this. We're setting up baselines for them. We're setting up the reporting so that they can understand how the systems are being used. And we were even RFID tagging some of the Vocera badges so that they can see what is the cadence of those being disinfected. So we're giving them that experience as we walk in. We're stepping first before we run. And that's a very, very sound way to do it.
Absolutely. Listening to you talk, Don, it sounds like the VA has some of the similar challenges or maybe the same challenges that we see in the private sector, particularly as it relates to infection control. I've noticed that a lot of the public and private facilities since COVID are limiting non-essential workers and visitors. How is it that you were able to get there at the VA Medical Center today and demonstrate or advocate for these technology solutions that you're talking about?
Well, it may be in one regard, Brad, and SealShield is not the only solution that fits this criteria, but it's just the right time for this. Imagine, SealShield's value proposition certainly isn't bound by COVID because you're focusing on mitigating hospital-acquired infections, which are always an issue for a health system. They're very costly. If someone gets sick within the hospital and it's tracked back to an HAI, they call them, the hospital's responsible for taking care of that. So that's always an issue, but during COVID, that's been heightened. And we've seen in my firm a number of other solutions that have come forward during COVID, some that have to do with contact tracing, some that have to do with moving things into virtual environments rather than face-to-face, some that have to do with education, making that virtual. So there are a lot of solutions that are coming forward, but this one in particular is very timely and very urgent. So through the work that we've done and through the diligence of the screening, we're here at the medical center. I'm in a very private area, so I have the privilege of removing my mask only for this interview. But as soon as we get back to work, we'll be masked up and we were screened coming in and whatnot. So that you asked me, how did I get here? I got here because there's a critical need that's driven by COVID now for a number of solutions. And the VA has been gracious to bring us in and to screen us and allow us to come on site to meet with their staff today.
Well, very interesting, Don. And the recent statistics have shown that there actually has been a spike. There is a rise in hospital-acquired infections during the COVID period. So it is an essential issue. And I know you've talked a little bit about some of the challenges the VA is facing. The wonders of modern technology, we get new tools that increase our efficiency, that improve patient outcome. But along with some of those tools comes challenges around infection prevention. Can you highlight a little bit more? You mentioned the Vocera badges and the mobile devices. What are the challenges that the VA is facing in terms of infection prevention? And what are the big challenges that you're there to address?
Sure. Well, what we're going to see in the near future is multiple other handheld devices being deployed within a major system like this. So right now we have the Cerner implementation happening at the VA, and that will enable many more other devices and handheld devices. So that alone requires a proactive view about what are we going to do about that? How are we going to mitigate that risk of infection spread that is simply done by devices that I might be bringing from home and moving from room to room within a hospital? So there's that. There's the likelihood of increased number of mobile devices. And then there's just the general, certainly the COVID environment has heightened the need for disinfection. And as I mentioned before, HAIs are always a challenge to deal with. So it's an urgent time for a solution like yours.
Well, thank you. You mentioned Cerner, and for our audience, Cerner, of course, an EMR system, an electronic medical record system. We're seeing the same thing in public and private healthcare institutions. They're implementing EMR systems to improve efficiency, to improve patient outcomes. But as you mentioned, along with that, comes technological challenges. And all of those systems, including Cerner, are highly mobile centric. So now hospitals like the VA are deploying mobile devices at a rate that has never been done before. Some have said, and I believe I've said it on this show, that the cell phone may be the most dangerous device to ever enter the healthcare system because it is accessing areas of the facility that have not been accessed by a single device before, going all over the facility and potentially transmitting pathogens. So a big challenge, not just at the VA, but in the public and private sector. You also mentioned the Vocera badges. Can you talk a little bit more about those and explain to our audience what that is and why that is a challenge or an infection control risk in the hospital system?
Absolutely. And Brad, while I answer this question, excuse me one moment. Can you still hear me, Brad?
I sure can, Don. Just want to remind you, it's a live show.
Yes. And can you still see me?
I see you. I hear you. You're coming through great.
Very good. Thank you so much. Well, I can't see you, but that's okay. We will continue to move forward here. So what I wanted to say was, one moment, please.
We've lost video on you, Don. I know that you are in a secure environment at the VA, and that does pose some technological challenges. Please bear with us while we get Don back on the line. I don't have the video, Don, but I do have you on audio, and there you are. You're back.
Okay. Very good.
Hey, we're filming a live show here, right? This is what makes it exciting. All right.
Isn't it great? So we were talking about Vocera badges, and we were talking about issues. Well, what I wanted to bring up was, let's look at this, not from Don Prisby's perspective or your perspective, sir, but let's look at it from a clinician's perspective or from a contracting officer's perspective. Now, imagine this. You have multiple devices now that are in your environment. And as a clinician, you want to improve care and lower the cost of care. You also want to create an environment that is safe for veterans and their families. You also want to create an environment that is safe and productive for your staff. All of those things go into better care and better experience for the veteran. So what happens if I bring devices into an environment that aren't disinfected? That just creates a panic, a silent panic about infection and a paranoia about that. Now,
it's a variable that's out of control, right? I mean, that's
right.
Absolutely.
And now what happens if those devices can't be cleaned and we don't know that they're spreading infection? And I'm pointing to one of the attributes of your solution that I've discovered, and that is that through the UVC light that is used by SealShield, that has been shown in a study on Vocera not to damage or degrade the surfaces of those devices. Now, why is that important? Because I may not be able to see the damage that are done by small microchasms in the screen, but those microchasms are like the Grand Canyon to any bacteria that might need to be destroyed. So what's important with the SealShield solution with the UVC light that is used there is that not only does it clean the device or does it disinfects the devices, but it doesn't damage them. And sometimes there are solutions in the market that are creating more problems than they're solving, because what we've got is damaged devices that are not able to be cleaned in 100% manner and end up spreading problems rather than destroying them. So I'm looking at that through clinicians' eyes, because I want the assurance that I have a disinfected environment. But I'm also looking at that, Brad, from a contracting officer's perspective or a finance person's perspective. Because if we're creating HAIs or we're damaging our own devices, that's expensive from a recovery perspective, from an illness, and it's also damaging from a replacement cost. These devices cost thousands of dollars to invest in. We need to protect them. So with your solution, we are not only able to disinfect, but assure that the devices aren't damaged and aren't spreading infection. So those are Those are two key elements on the disinfection side. And when I look at that from a financial perspective or from a clinical perspective, it makes sense for me.
So, Don, there's a whole lot there. Let's take a step back for our audience. So the VA is implementing Cerner. Cerner uses iPhones and mobile devices as part of the system. You can't just stick an iPhone in the dishwasher, right? So if you've got a critical piece of equipment that's traveling throughout the healthcare system, how do you clean it? You can't throw it in soap and water. You can't put it in a dishwasher. So you need some sort of disinfection modality that's going to kill the pathogens that you can't even see on the device, but that we know are there. You've mentioned UVC light. UVC radiation has been shown recently to be effective against pathogens, broad spectrum disinfection, high level disinfection of devices that are hard to clean. So if the challenge is how do we clean these hard to clean devices, you're advocating UVC as a disinfection modality that can be the solution. Is that correct?
That is correct. And really the norm, Brad, is not a technology at all. The norm is wipes. People feel that wiping down a solution, wiping down a device is the proper solution. And it really isn't enough because those wipes need to have a contact time of several minutes on the device. So wipes are kind of almost cleaning. It's a surface disinfection. It's not a deep disinfection. So if that's the standard, which it is, what we need to look at are systems like ours, like this one, that disinfect. And disinfect deeply and in a 360 degree environment.
So I think that's a great point. People are using wipes to clean their devices, but a lot of people don't think about the fact that in order to get those pathogen kill rates that the chemical disinfectants promote, you need to have a long dwell time that may not be realistic, right? You might need to let it sit there for 5-10 minutes to really get that high level disinfection. Don, I know the CDC has come out with a guideline of 5 wipes to 1 high level disinfection for mobile devices. But to your point, the wipes aren't getting the disinfection done. You need some sort of high-level disinfection solution. And of course, we've been talking about UV light as the preferred modality for that. But there are some challenges as you discussed with UV light, and not all UV light is the same. You mentioned the microchasms. What is that? So tell our viewers what you're talking about there. If you're using UVC as a disinfection modality, what are some of the risks or the challenges around that technology?
Well, the risk is with mercury bulbs that are run much hotter. So there are some solutions that use mercury bulbs. And what those do is they create surface damage on the devices over time. And there are studies that show not just on normal devices, but there was a study done on Vocera devices that shows that that's an issue. So with good intent, mercury light is too hot and it creates micro fissures in the surface. And as I mentioned before, we may not be able to see those with our eyes, but they are areas where infection can hide and not get disinfected. So it's a critical issue.
So let me make sure I understand this and back it up again for our audience. So we have technological advancements that improve healthcare, electronic medical record systems, the advent or proliferation of mobile devices within healthcare, making us more efficient, providing better patient outcomes. But along with that comes the challenges of how you disinfect these difficult to clean devices. UVC light has been shown to be an effective disinfection modality. So a hospital says, well, let's get some UVC disinfection in here to clean these mobile devices. But what they find is that the solution that they've implemented is actually causing long-term problems against the goal that they're trying to achieve, right? So they're using UVC disinfection, but over time, it's degrading the materials of the device that they're disinfecting, which is leading to less effective disinfection. Do I have that right?
Yes. And yet I would like to be kind in terms of how maybe that decision was made. When COVID hit, it created a panic and folks saw a solution and needed it. So it was acquired. And then it just gained momentum and that continued to be acquired. But what our role right now is to inform and educate the VA about what the unique salient characteristics are of an effective solution. So in our process, and we can go back to the consultative process that I described before, we are very clear about coming in and understanding what is the clinical need here, what is the urgent issue, and then creating insight for a contracting officer to look at. And that insight is right aligned with their requirement to do market research in order to make an ethical and legal decision for the right solution. So once we pull our information together, we'll write a performance work statement, we'll write an executive summary, we'll identify those unique salient characteristics that solve the issues that are the critical issues. We'll also prove that there's been performance of this solution in the market and that it works. And then we give them fair and reasonable pricing. So all of that work, it's, again, I say, it's not a commodity sale. It's not a respond to an RFP. It's advising on a legal and ethical solution that makes sense. And that's what we do. And that's why my firm looks for solutions that are unique in the market and that show that they can align with the VA priorities and show that they can solve problems, not create problems.
Unique salient characteristics. I want to go back to that because we've talked about the benefits of UV. We've talked about some of the challenges or detriments to UV as a solution. You had mentioned mercury bulbs and the UVC disinfection products that are using mercury bulbs and how those mercury bulbs, because of the heat and because of the broad spectrum of UV light that they transmit, is causing material degradation. Is there a solution that does not have those characteristics? Can we use UVC disinfection as a successful modality without material degradation?
Well, yes, we can. And what we've identified was that Seal Shield is that solution in terms of having UVC light. And I'll name a few attributes about Seal Shield that we've assessed that are important. Number one, that they use light that isn't degrading the devices that we're trying to disinfect. Number two, that you can guarantee a 360-degree disinfection of the device that we put into it. Another one, a 60-second cycle time for disinfecting. But there's another part of this value proposition that's important, and that is the ability to track the devices that are being disinfected. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, with your solution, we can RFID tag, say, the Vocera badges, for example. And now we can track to what degree those are being disinfected and what is the timing of that. Now, why is that important? Well, it introduces accountability into the process. And the other issue about that is, what happens if we've got infection protocols in place, but we can't prove that they're being followed? That could be an issue if Joint Commission came in and knocked on the door. That would be
an issue. And they do, right? That's a Joint Commission performs regular audits. These are questions that have to be answered. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And what would I do if I was a nurse executive and my infection preventionist lead at the medical center wanted me to prove that we are adhering to the protocols? What would I do if my director asked, well, you have responsibility for this. We're trying to prevent HAIs. How can you prove that the solution that you've just invested in is being used? The answer there is through the device. One moment, please.
No problem. We got you, Don.
Thank you. So through the tracking that Seal Shield avails, the clinician can get regular reports on what devices are being disinfected and what is the frequency of that, so that when Joint Commission were to ask, I could present a report and prove that it was being done. Now, that just is good from a reputation standpoint, right? So that I can say that we're doing our best to care for the veterans, and here's how we prove it. But it also mitigates the risk of being fined. So there's the fine issue, and then there's also the reputation issue. And then there's just, again, there's the higher level care issue. We're here to serve the veterans. We're here to improve well-being and drive down the cost of care. And being able to track the use of the investment and prove that we have a safe environment all aligns with the VA's strategies.
Right. It's not enough to be able to clean the devices. You have to be able to prove that you cleaned it in an audit. And as you mentioned, a lot of UVC disinfection products on the market. Some of the unique characteristics you mentioned are high-level disinfection with no material degradation. And you mentioned 360-degree disinfection. I know that there's been some confusion in the marketplace as to what that means, because the benefit of a non-mercury bulb, such as a UVC LED solution, is that there isn't any heat. So when we talk about 360 degrees, we're not talking about temperature, right? We're talking about 360 degrees around the device. And that's important because a lot of devices might be disinfecting the top or disinfecting the bottom. But if pathogens can survive anywhere on the device, then they can spread. Do I have that right?
Correct. Imagine, and we were just setting it up this morning here in Portland. We have these crystal shelves that go into the device, and we can either have two shelves or up to four shelves. Those allow the light to penetrate through the shelf from multiple angles. So there are no shadows. There's no shadowed light. It's all direct light, direct UVC light onto the device. So every nook and cranny, from where the buttons are to where the, you know, the case might be or the ridges, all of that gets disinfected. That's what I mean by 360 degree. It's a 360 degree environment of disinfection.
Got it. And for our viewers who are watching, you're talking about the SealShield Electroclave solution, which allows you to disinfect multiple mobile devices with no material degradation and 360 degree disinfection, not 360 degrees in temperature, 360 degrees around the device. So it's completely disinfected. And you mentioned the tracking piece, right? That is also one of the unique characteristics of the Electroclave that you're talking about here, the internal RFID system. How does that work? Each device is tracked individually to maintain compliance. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, one can buy different software packages that are offered by SealShield. All of them allow SealShield to be able to do what we call intelligent maintenance. So with any of those packages, the SealShield team is watching every device that is deployed in the field, and they can see what the status of that device is, how it's being used, the frequency. They can proactively look at the various elements to see at what point they might need to be replaced or addressed. So with that in mind, the tracking is done. We call that intelligent maintenance, and it's a commitment that SealShield makes to their private and their federal healthcare systems that they work with. The other levels of software that can be acquired allow a system to RFID tag their devices, say a subset of devices, like maybe just their Vocera badges, or all the devices that they're using, allow them to be able to track them on a regular basis. Again, as I said, by device and by timing of use.
Outstanding. So again, the tracking, absolutely critical. You mentioned the intelligent maintenance. This is important, I know, because all of these UVC disinfection systems have a consumable in the bulbs, right? So whether it's a mercury bulb or whether it's a UVC LED, they have a lifespan, right? And
correct,
because UV light is actually invisible, you can't really tell if it's working at optimal performance or not. The only way to do that is through some sort of intelligent maintenance, which the Electroclave solution offers.
That is correct. But we also, there are some devices that are deployed on the market that don't have that intelligent maintenance. And we have discovered that some of them have been out of service for weeks before they were even realized. So that intelligent maintenance is critical in terms of the commitment to making sure that the solutions are working and to just inform people of the functionality and the efficacy of the solutions.
Well, so I want to go back to that, because in the scenario you just talked about, the hospital, in this case, the VA, has invested in solutions with the goal of reducing hospital-acquired infections, reducing cross-contamination infections, and they are using those devices appropriately within their workflow, and it's not working and they don't know it. Is that the situation you just described?
That is the potential, and that is the actuality in some instances that we've seen. So let's just consider ourselves as we're all human beings. We all need to be held accountable. So having that intelligent maintenance and having the tracking ability allows us all to adhere to protocols, to make sure that the investments that we're making are being used. And again, at a high level in the VA, that would be being a good steward of the taxpayers' resources. And that's a critical element for the VA as a government entity.
Well, and you mentioned the high cost of these mobile devices that are being protected. And so it is an economic issue as well as an infection prevention issue, making sure we're protecting those devices. And the tracking system allows those devices to be managed from an inventory or asset management standpoint, as well as just an infection control standpoint. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you really have a double-edged sword. You get the benefit of infection control, but you also have the benefit of protecting these expensive pieces of equipment and managing that inventory from economic benefit.
Right. So if you looked at two high-level values of the Seal Shield solution, one is the disinfection that is, again, 360-degree environment that is not damaging the devices. And the other part of that is the tracking, the ability to hold our systems accountable in terms of, are we using them? Can we prove adherence to disinfection protocols? Are we really supporting the mission of enhancing care and driving down the cost of care?
Well, of course, I support the benefits of the Seal Shield Electroclave. I appreciate you being an advocate for the Electroclave at the VA. Is that really your mission there today? What are you doing with the VA in regards to the Electroclave there today?
Well, today is the fruition of a lot of work that we've been doing all over the country. Thus far, we have presented the Electroclave solution to over half of the divisions. So 9 of the 18 divisions in the country have seen this solution. And we have built multi-level advocacy for it from the clinicians that are using it and are responsible on a day-to-day basis to the administrative and executive decision makers. We have addressed contracting officers who have reached out to us on behalf of a medical center or a VISN who want market research. So we presented that to them. And also, you were at HIMSS, right? You were visited by someone from the Tactical Acquisition Center, which is an organization that has a responsibility at a high level to do market research on behalf of the entire system and to look at solutions that make sense. So we're working at that level as well, Brad. So we call that multi-level advocacy, and it involves leadership at all levels and at all locations, from a medical center level to a VISN level to an enterprise level. So all of that activity is going on right now. This work at Portland is just the fruition of that kind of work.
Fantastic. And appreciate that your passion for the advocacy of emerging technology aligns with your passion for the VA and for the care of our veterans. Really appreciate your commitment to that. While you're there at the VA, I've just got a couple other questions for you. What have you seen? I know you've been doing business with the VA for a long time. What, if anything, has changed from your perspective as a result of COVID, whether it's access or whether it's a technological focus? Have you seen any significant changes that you'd like to share with our audience during the COVID time versus prior to COVID in the VA system?
Well, like any medical system, it certainly has become much more disciplined and much more focused on all of the additional protocols that are required you know, to manage a pandemic. So that's not unusual. Yet there have been some psychosocial costs that are across the system. We are seeing veterans that are suffering from more depression, are needing more attention, which is why the secretary has veteran suicide prevention as one of the top priorities for the year. We've also seen an increase in the effectiveness of telehealth. So a lot of telehealth is now being deployed outside the walls of the hospital. So that's another thing that we're seeing. And overall, I'm seeing a lot of companies that are approaching us with various COVID-related solutions. And again, they're not all unique and they don't all meet the criteria. So we can't support them. But it certainly has created an urgency for those solutions to be considered and developed. But they don't all pass the muster. And again, with the VA, you know, they have very strong criteria for what is an effective consideration, you know, for an effective solution. So one must be prepared. One must be truthful. One must have attestation of past performance. We addressed unique salient characteristics. We must be able to support the government's mandate to make legal and ethical decisions for solutions that support the high-level strategies of the system.
And does that differ that much from public or private healthcare? Are there any characteristics you think about doing business with the VA that are dramatically different from doing healthcare business in the private sector? What can you share with us about that?
That's a great question. And let's come back to the movement toward outcome-based care. In the private healthcare systems, that's really tied to economics, right? We must be able to deliver high-level care so that we are remunerated at the highest level we can, you know, from the insurance companies or from Medicare, Medicaid. So while that sounds altruistic, there is an economic reason for that. So rather than just treat somebody inadvertently or with multiple codes that we can charge for, we need to make sure that they're getting well, that they are recovering well. So that's an economic driver in a private healthcare system. In the VA, it's no different. I mean, we call that proof of stewardship. We need to be able to make sure that we're good stewards of the government's funds in terms of taking care of a veteran. But at the VA, there's also there's a strong ethic. There's a strong commitment to the veteran, much like you feel, Brad, from your family. And certainly what I feel having grown up in that environment, there is an ethic of, you know, we are mandated and we are driven and committed to take care of people who have risked their lives for the country, whether it's veterans who have completed their service or active duty over on the Defense Health Agency. So there's a strong ethic there. And that is really embraced by all the staff that work at the VA. From people that do the contracting and logistics, which is where I am today in that office, or it's from medical doctors who really sacrifice a lot of time and sacrifice a lot of compensation to commit themselves to the VA system. So there's a definite ethic here. You can feel it in the people that you work for, and it's a commitment to veterans and active duty.
Absolutely agree. Our veterans and our active military people have absolutely earned the right to the highest level of service. So there is an extra level of significance and importance for the patient advocacy. And I appreciate you being a pioneer and a leader in that cause. You mentioned DHA. And I know you guys do business with Defense Health as well. Can you tell our viewers what the difference is between VA and Defense Health? And if there's any significant differences on how you approach those organizations as an advocate?
There's really no difference in how I would approach them. And there's really no difference in navigating the contracting process. And there's certainly no difference in trying to build advocacy from the bottom up, from the clinician perspective, the person that's closest to the patient, up to the decision maker that's financing it. So there's really no difference there, but there is a difference in audience, because what we're dealing with over in the DHA are active duty. These are soldiers, men and women that are currently served, and they are deployed all over the world. So that's an interesting development that we've taken with your organization, is that we are approaching Ramstein and Landstuhl, the huge medical center over in Landstuhl, Germany.
Well, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties with our guest, Don Prisby. We'll try to get him back on, but very interesting discussion.
But before we let everybody go, let's give Don a little bit of time. Is there anything in this conversation with Don that was new to you? Did you know most of this stuff? Anything excite you about what you just heard?
Yeah, well, I am familiar with the technology. I'm familiar with what's going on at the VA. I, of course, appreciate Don being an advocate for those solutions to improve technology for our veterans. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it in great detail, but I know we're going to be getting into it on future shows. Some of the other innovations around infection control that have really emerged as a result of COVID, Don mentioned telehealth. This is huge. And now Seal Shield is not involved in telehealth, and telehealth has been around for a long time, but it really took COVID to advance telehealth to where it is today and where it's going, which is really exciting, because telehealth may be one of the most successful technological advancements in terms of the prevention of infections, because now you don't have to go to the healthcare facility. You don't have to go to the hospital where they have the super bugs and we're being exposed to people that were much sicker than you were. And we've talked about the mission on this show that we want to prevent or reduce hospital acquired infections. I think telehealth will be one of the big technologies that's going to be advancing our infection control efforts in the future. It looks like we might have Don coming back. Don, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
I can. Don, sorry that you're having those technical issues. I know the network security at the VA is pretty tight, so I can appreciate the challenges you're having over there. While we've got you back, just to sum up, if people want to learn more about doing business with the VA, doing business with Cadence Advanced, where can people go for more information?
Thanks so much, and I appreciate your patience. Technical issues live are always part of the challenge. Well, I would say that any person listening that is interested in learning more about Seal Shield can simply call Seal Shield. And certainly, you know, at a very appropriate time, I certainly will be involved in advancing their conversation, advancing them to the right people, so that we can learn more about what the unique needs of the user are. So certainly to call Seal Shield or to contact me here at Cadence Advanced. One thing I wanted to point out is that your company just recently chose to be part of the VA Healthcare Summit, and you'll be in Washington, D.C., October 27th through 30th at the VA Healthcare Summit. So you're one of the chief sponsors of that summit. And people who are VA leaders can go over to the location and see this solution in action and meet some of the staff there. So that's certainly a way, especially for those in the D.C. area who might want to reach out and get an experience direct with you. But our mission is to respond and to take this solution to every medical center in the country. I personally, in my travels recently, have been to 80 of the VA medical centers, showing solutions to clinical, administrative, and executive leaders. So that's our commitment. But so I certainly would say people who are interested in Seal Shield, call Seal Shield, get in contact with them, and we will build a comprehensive means for them to reach out to government folks that really need a solution like this in the market.
Well, thank you very much, Don. Again, that's October 27th through the 30th in Washington, D.C. If you want to see the technology live and in person that Don has been talking about today, Don, thank you so much for being on our show today. Our guest has been Don Prisby with Cadence Advance. Thank you so much, Don. If you want to learn more about Seal Shield, as Don mentioned, you can just call us here. We actually answer the phone around here. You can talk to a live person. That number is 87-SEAL-SHIELD. That's 877-325-7443. Or visit us on the web at sealshield.com. We archive our podcast at sealshield.com/podcast. And be sure to join us again next week on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Norman Horn will be our guest. And join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a live episode of Clean Talk. Until next time, I'm your host, Brad Whitchurch, reminding you to keep it clean.